This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. This has been a very lean season for Michigan's wine industry. Many labels that had enjoyed several years of growth and evolving hopes for Michigan joining the ranks of other states, challenging dominant regions on the American market, saw everything come to a screeching halt in 2020. A big part of the state's wine culture are the many tasting rooms where Michigan residents and Michigan visitors can experience the product and learn more about the brands. Tasting rooms have had a very hard time under COVID restrictions. Mike Wells is the founder and owner of Blackfire Winery. Located in Lenawee County, he's been hosting events and producing product for several years now, but this year has posed challenges to his business, among many others. And we wanted to talk to him about the situation. Mike Wells, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you for having me.
Your winery offers a full menu of varietals, Pinot Gris, Malbec, Chardonnay, all kinds of things, as well as a full line of beers and ciders. And I know that you've hosted tastings and events and pairing dinners of many kinds. What would normally be going on at Blackfire at this time of year?
Well, I think we would probably be looking at a Christmas party. We would be hosting private events for businesses that are having their Christmas parties this time of the year as well. Needless to say, none of that has happened this year and won't happen this year.
Can you tell us about the level of production that you were keeping up, say, at this time last year before the virus kind of sent everything into the blender?
Well, this is our fifth year of being in business, and things have been growing and growing. And this year we had a lot of things originally planned that have all stopped. We do a lot of hosting of buses, and we also have our own events that we put on, and we were planning quite a few for this year, as well as we host weddings. And needless to say, it was like dominoes. Everything in March just started falling off until, you know, there was nothing left on the board. My business model in doing this was always to be able to sell directly out of the tasting room. We weren't ever anticipating on having to change that to where we might have to start looking at selling in stores. We have a few restaurants that we deal with, and, you know, needless to say, they've been hurt, as well as a couple other retail outlets that we sell our wines.
Can you say a bit about why the in-person experience was important to you when you started the winery?
Well, one of the things that we've always been really proud of is the fact that, you know, people come in as strangers, and if not that trip or the next trip, they've left as friends. We've got the vineyard, we've got a big deck, and we're very personable with the customer. So we try to make it an experience. Coming in to buy the bottle of wine and getting out is just not what we were ever trying to do. Same thing with the beer. We want you to come in and stay.
Right. Tell me about your thoughts and what's been on your mind as you consider what you're going to need to do to keep the business alive.
Well, I know that in the short run, and when I say that, I'm thinking at least the next year or two, that we have to change the way we're doing things and plan on getting our products into the stores. And I think that the tasting room end of it, it's not looking promising. Currently, we have igloos, which we've had. This is our second season with igloos, and we are able to rent those out, but that's not going to carry it for us. There's a lot of expense in having a winery as well as a brewery and doing ciders as well. It takes a lot to keep that going. So I think we're going to have to look at a complete change in how we do things. And that is if we survive. And that's in question right now.
What would it entail to get retailers to carry your product? Does that involve just doing the shoe leather of figuring out which retailers might be a good placement for the brands and just doing the work of going out and contacting people and seeing if they're interested in partnering?
Well, that's part of it. It depends on what level you're looking at. If it's a smaller place, then it is just, you know, someone coming in the door with maybe samples and with the hope that you can get an in there, where other and larger stores, there's a process And we are looking at that. Unfortunately for me, I'm not a salesperson. I guess I could be, but you know, I'm also the winemaker and the brewer. And so my time is really limited as to what else I can put on that plate.
What's it like trying to get into online sales at a time like this?
That might be the easiest thing for us. We are in the process. I have someone that is changing our website. You know, for our first 2 years, we didn't even have a website. We went off Facebook. We had a really large response from that. Now I see the importance of the website. So we're trying to do that, get our products on it. As I said earlier, we weren't planning on selling out of the tasting room. So now we're looking at getting our beers canned, our ciders canned, and being able to sell it online as well as in retail outlets. So more expense and not the money for it.
I want to take this opportunity to correct an error that I made last month. We were talking to another couple of brewers out of Grand Rapids, and at that time we stated that those guys were the first fully Black-owned brand in Michigan. I stand corrected. Your brewery has been going for, as you say, some time now, although not as long as the winery. Will you tell us a little bit about your entree into both winemaking and brewing? I mean, you had a full career as a firefighter before you started doing this. Will you tell the story of how you got interested in doing something different?
Well, I've been interested in winemaking since I was 16. I think it was kind of fate that I had woke up one day and decided that I was going to make some wine. I grew up in the city of Detroit. And my parents were fortunate enough to where they own the lot next door. And my dad was a big gardener and he had farmer all through him. And so we had a lot of fruits and vegetable things growing on that lot, as well as some grapevines that were in our backyard. And I woke up one day and decided at 16, I was going to make some wine. And it was in the fall and the grapes were ready. And I went out and picked them all and made my first batch of wine. Now, that might not sound that strange, but this was a long time ago. There was no internet. And the funnier part is my parents didn't drink alcohol. And so I wound up putting it in pop bottles and put it in the back of my dad's closet. And he kept his suits in the back along with our suitcases and that. And I'd go back there every couple of days with a flashlight. And I knew nothing back then about fermentation. I thought it was percolating. So I thought when I was looking at it that it was definitely working because it was percolating. But typical kid, I forgot about it. And sometime in the future, I have a brother that's 11 years older. He was by and he asked me about it. And I told him I didn't know if it was done or not. And so I decided to go get some, and we were sitting at the kitchen table sampling it. And my dad came in, and I think I'd had about three bottles of it by then. And he had asked, you know, what I was doing, and I told him we were trying my wine. And he was intrigued at first until he found out that they were all in the closet by his suits, at which time he told me to get them out of there. And I stood up. And that's when I got the effect of having those bottles of wine. And I've kind of been hooked on the whole process of making it ever since.
Mike, I'm afraid to ask, but what did that first batch taste like?
You know, it's been so long that I can't remember. But I have to assume that it was palatable, because otherwise I probably wouldn't have continued.
When you got to the point where you were ready to make a go of the business, and obviously you had more experience under your belt, what did you want to offer at Blackfire that was different?
Well, it was a few things. You know, we had some property living out in Tecumseh, and I was able to buy the property next door, which added more property. And the idea originally was I was going to have my dad move out here, but that didn't work. And I decided one day that when I retired that I wanted to take this from the hobby to the commercial level. And I started looking around, and I found that Michigan State University at the time had a program. And I did that for 2 years, where I went learned how to commercially make wine as well as commercially grow grapes, which I didn't know how to do. I got done with that, and it was, we just planted our first 5 acres of grapes, and haven't really looked back since then, you know, and we've got 11 acres of grapes now. We added the tasting room. We got the doors open to the winery in 2016, thanks to a very good friend up in Grand Rapids that has a winery and was really my mentor, Cascade Winery. He told me I needed to get my brewing license as well. And at that point, I was saying, why? Because I'm never making beer. And he said, you'll understand this after you open up. Get your brewer's license. So I did. And about 6 months later, I figured out, yeah, we need to start making beer.
If you're just joining us, my guest today is Mike Wells. He's the owner of Black Fire Winery in Lenawee County. Mike, we're getting a lot of information about the availability and distribution of the vaccines that are being developed to fight COVID. And I think a lot of people are sort of trying to just buckle down and tough it out right now with the assumption that things might be different in 2021 once vaccine doses become available to the public. Are you going forward with the assumption that once the vaccine is widely available to consumers, that things will go back to normal?
Personally, I don't think that's going to happen in 2021. I think that it'll be maybe mid-2022 before I think things will be somewhat back to what we'd call normal. I'm thinking that there's enough fear in people that they're not going to want to be the first ones to try this vaccine. And even then, I think it's going to take time for this to come back around.
Yeah. I imagine the nature of event-related business, too, is just people have to feel confident enough to plan something and to put money down to, you know, to reserve a room and reserve their time and just to get back in the habit of gathering in great numbers.
That is quite true. This year, all of our events were canceled, with the exception of one. Once a year, we do a wild game dinner, and it's not a moneymaker for me. It's something that I like to do. Needless to say, it's a certain segment of people that like wild game. And we went ahead and did that event this year, and it really showed how things have changed. Just about everyone that was coming wanted to know how we were going to make sure that they'd be safe for this event. And what we've done in the past, it was always a buffet style. You could come in, you could try whatever you wanted. And this year, we had to get a tent that was 4 times as large. Normally, it's held inside or on our deck. But this year, we did it under a tent outside. We had to have the tables spaced far enough apart so that everyone was socially distanced. We only had a maximum of 6 people at a table. The space that was required to keep everyone apart is why we had to have this massive tent to get everyone in, which we could have had hundreds of people in this tent otherwise. But they still came and everyone had a great time. So I see where it can be done. It just takes a lot of precaution and it costs more because of having those precautions.
Yeah. It sounds like you've been extremely busy trying to keep the business going. I don't know if there's been a lot of time for reflection, but what do you miss the most about having people out to the winery?
Oh, the conversations. I mean, people have compared this to Cheers. If you remember that television show, it's a place where a lot of the favorites come in all the time. They come in for the conversation. Unlike a lot of other places where you may just come in with your friends, you stay with your friends, you leave with your friends. This is the kind of place where you meet people, and a lot of friendships are made here by the fact that people converse. And we like that. And that's what we've always done with our events, too. And that's one of the things I really miss, because we try to do monthly or every other month events. Sometimes you might come in and you'd expect that you'd be with the person that you're with. And we might do that this time, but the next time we might make it an endless table and make you sit with everybody else. By doing that, we always had great conversations going on with people.
It looks like Congress is getting closer to a second round of COVID relief. And some people are even predicting that a bill might get passed before the end of the year. Would that be soon enough to help you and other small wineries survive?
I think one of the biggest problems with this is, you know, I put everything that I own into this winery, and I've had no control over keeping it going. And as much as they put out that there's these grants available, that there's, you know, all these loans available, it's so freaking difficult to do anything. The grants that I've applied for, within 8 minutes, it's full. And you're too late. When I was applying for the federal loan, the computer system stopped working. I never completed it. When I did try to come back and complete it, I couldn't get on. Eventually, I was able to go back and finish it. And it was just pushing a button saying it was complete. And I was saying, how's it complete? I haven't even put the financial stuff in it. And then I came back and they were offering me a loan. I had to call them and I talked to them and I says, how is this possible that you have the information? They says, well, it's in here. I says, well, who put it in? I didn't. The program froze on me. I wasn't able to do this. And they said, well, here's what we can offer you. And that was $5,600. And if you want it changed, you can accept this. And then you can send other documentation in and it can be reviewed and maybe we can make a change. The problem with all those kind of things is there's thousands of people trying to do the same thing. And it's just too slow. But in the meantime, you know, if the doors were open, if we were able to keep working, I'm not a handout kind of guy. I'd like to do things myself, and that's why I'm in business. I also understand why we're shut down, but they can't expect you to keep paying bills when you're not able to make money. And I just think that's the biggest problem.
Michael Wells is the proprietor of Blackfire Winery in Tecumseh. Mike, we wish you luck keeping things going this winter and that everyone can get together at your place sooner rather than later.
Thank you very much. I hope so as well.